But I want to step back through to catch us back up to where we are today. So this is a class on financial stewardship. Specifically, we've been talking about money. And we began by asking the question, what is money? And I know that I don't have this shown the way it normally is, but it's helping me right now. I'll change it when we get to where we start today. But we talked about what money was, and the simplest definition that we had for it was that it was a tool. And then we talked about uses of money, and we said that you could. There were only three things you could do with money. You can spend it, you can save it, and you can give it away. After that, we talked about the perspective of money, and that everything that we have, and this includes money, is given to us from God, and we are merely a steward of that. Talked about some common bad financial advice, the most common one being make as much money as you can as long as you make it honestly. Then we jumped into a financial plan, okay, and in the financial plan, we said the steps were we start with a $1,000 emergency fund, then we're going to pay off all our debt except for the mortgage, then we're going to build a full emergency fund, which is 3 to 6 months of living expense. Then we'd begin saving 15% for retirement, save for college funds for children or grandchildren. We're going to pay off the mortgage. At this point, we are completely debt-free, and then we will begin to build wealth and give. Then we talked about a budget, and we walked through the steps of filling out a budget. The first thing we do is we account for all of our income, anything that we have coming in. Then we address spending, saving, giving. And then we defined something called mad money, which was mom and dad money. Mom and dad money was simply that both would get an agreed to amount on either a weekly, monthly basis, you can pick, and you're not accountable to each other for how that money is spent. Okay, so you want to save your money and go to Baskin and Robbins, then that's what you can do with it. You're not accountable to your spouse, but you are accountable to God, okay? All right. Then we talked about debt. Too small, I can't see. Oh. Okay. Then we talked about debt. And that's the last slide I have, Brother Andrew. That one right there. Okay. All right. So in going through debt, we said that you must stop using debt. You're not going to borrow your way out of debt. We talked about the fact that it's not just a financial decision. It's also a lifestyle decision or a heart decision. Oh, I grabbed the wrong one. Thank you. Can I get this back out of play mode? Awesome. Thank you. Okay. Debt. So we want to pay debt down. We talked about the debt snowball. We talked how it worked, that we're going to list all of our debts outside of mortgage or large student loans. Okay, those two we're going to deal with separate. All other debts, we're going to list them smallest to largest. We're going to pay the minimum on every debt except the smallest one. We're going to put every penny we can come up with toward it, pay it off. Then we're going to take the money that we were paying on it, we're going to go to the next one down, which will be your next smallest. It's now your smallest. We would add that money to the minimum of it, pay on it till it's gone. We go straight down the list doing that one after the other, okay, until they're all gone. The other thing we said was that when you pay a debt off, call and cancel that account, especially if it's a credit card. It removes the temptation of going back and using it again. Then we talked about mortgages. And we gave some examples of what happens if you pay extra each month on a mortgage. I didn't go into a lot of detail in this. I did as far as an example of paying this much extra and what it does for you. But there's two things that go along with this that make the big impact. Number one is start early. Number two, be consistent. Okay, if you do this 1 month and skip a month and then do it a month, skip a month, it's still a benefit. Okay, every time you do it, it's a benefit, but it's not going to accelerate the way we showed the numbers up here. Okay, that knocking 10, 11, 12 years off of a 30-year mortgage won't happen. Knock about a half of that to a third of that off. All right. So, we'll get this back the way it's supposed to be. So that brings us up to saving. Proverbs 6:6-8 says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." Okay? We're talking about saving something back. Most people want to refer to it as a rainy day fund. Our illustrious state even refers to it that way. Okay? So there's some pile of money sitting back here that we've saved. It started as our baby emergency fund. Then we did a full emergency fund. And those were particularly to take care of an emergency job, have a car breakdown, things absolutely have to have, food, okay? And it would allow you to continue to live without sacrificing the plan that you were on, the plan. So in this part, we're past that. This part is purely saving, okay? This can be saving for retirement. This can be saving for college funds. This can be saving to buy a house. A little much to be saving to go to Baskin Robbins, okay? But this is where you're going to save money for the things you want. This is also the place where you're going to put goals in your life of what it is you want to do. So there were some comments around a particular boat, and this is absolutely where you make the plan of, we want a boat, you make that plan, you can save for that, okay? Doesn't? Yes, sir. I have two, and I won't shed of both of them, sorry. But this is where your debt's gone, okay? There should be some stability financially in your house, and you can start to make the plans for what you want to do. This is also where, and me and my wife are about in this situation, we're both driving vehicles that are older, both have over 200,000 miles, and we're probably looking at having to upgrade at least one, if not two, vehicles. Okay, so for our position, we're about here in this plan, maybe a little farther, but we're here. How do you do that? Well, we'll sit down, we'll decide a budget we want for this vehicle, okay, $15,000. And then we decide how much we contribute to that without stopping the rest of our plan, okay? We keep our financial plan in place, what it's there for. We'll say we got this much extra money, $500 a month, we're going to put it in that fund. Now, this can be a real fund. You can open a separate account, savings account, money market account, whatever you want to do. You can put it in a different envelope and stick it under your mattress. Or you can just document, okay? And that's going to be a personal preference that needs to be picked based on, you know, if you just do it on paper and say, hey, this is allocated for that, and you won't go spend it somewhere else, great, do it that way. You're the type that says, if the money's there, I'm probably going to spend it. Get it out. Put it somewhere else. Okay, this is where you do it. And you sit down and you look and you say, okay, if I'm saving $500 a month, I need to get to $15,000 to go buy my vehicle. That's roughly 30 months, right? So for the next almost 3 years, we're putting $500 a month in this fund. And then when we're ready, we've got the money sitting there, we go buy the vehicle. $15,000. I hope you understand. We're so, you know, and if you want that new vehicle, nothing that says you can't have that, but you need to plan for that, and you need to set that money aside, and you need to get that money, okay, and go buy that vehicle. That's not easy. It's not cheap, especially in this day and age. 3 years ago, people were making some money. Their bills were here. And they usually had some left over if they were following a plan. They could have done something like that. The problem is now the expenses, everyday expenses, are just going up. So you've got to review this plan somewhat regularly, probably no more than twice a year. Probably get away with once a year. You've got to review it because Alabama Power just got approved for rate increase. Birmingham Water Works got approved for one. I don't know all of them, but there's plenty of them. All these people are going, oh, well, I got to have more money. Anybody has garbage pickup service? That's absurd. It went from like $40 a quarter to $70 a quarter. Okay? And then turned around and went up again after that. But anyway, so you have, this is a flowing, changing plan and budget. Your expenses go up. You have to account. Okay? Great way to account for that is by increasing your. That's not always an easy. Sometimes it is. Matter of, hey, I can work a few extra hours. Hey, I can come in and work on a Saturday. Not a Sunday. Saturday. but, and I know some of you don't have a choice. You may have to work Sundays. I've been there. Okay? If I'm out of town, I'm on an outage, some 3 months, and I don't get a day off for 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. It happens. But understand that, you know, you can't make making money the priority of your life. But if you go, we need a little bit extra right here, and working a half a day on a Saturday gets me there, picking up a side job, something like that will get you there, fine. Income is the best way to offset increase in expense because the other option is start cutting. We mentioned selling things last week and that didn't go over very well, right? Ooh, but we may have to. Okay, so in savings, there's typically, especially long-term savings, talking about retirement, there's typically two kinds of savings. One is employer-based. So if you work for the man, if you've got an employer, most of them will have some type of retirement plan. Common right now is a 401k. Used to be pension. Those were great. Now it's a 401k, so it's dependent on the market and what it does. No guarantee. If your company offers a match, a 401k, you want to contribute at a minimum what's required to get their maximum. Some of the ones that I've heard of, will match 50 cents on the dollar for the first 3% contribution. I'm sorry, first 3% of your salary. Okay. I had an employer one time, they did $50 unlimited. Okay. They're out there. I know some that do dollar for dollar, but it is limited. Okay, it's not an unlimited. But if you get the maximum you can from your company, by what you put in, get the maximum from, that's, quote, free money to you, okay? That's growth in your retirement that you're not having to, not having to count the stock market up to get. The second way, there's a lot of ways you can do this. I'm only going to talk about two. Second is self-based, okay? You can do this on your own. If you're self-employed, if you work for a really small company, or just a company that doesn't offer retirement, you can do this on your own. You can do it. IRAs, y'all, the next IRAs are the most common method, okay? But it's not the only. There are some other ways that you can go about it. All you're wanting to do is take part of your income and invest it somewhere for long-term growth so that at some point in your life, when you say, I need or want or whatever to retire, there is something there, something that you retire on you're dependent on social insecurity, I'm sorry, social security, it's probably not a good bet. If you're drawing it now, congratulations, and I hope you get all you can get. Because my guess is by the time I may get some, by the time my kids get to the point that they could get it, it's probably going to be no guarantee. That tends to be the direction. So with the IRAs, there's two types of IRAs. First is a traditional income forever. And with a traditional IRA, the contribution make to it are pre-tax, okay? So when you make that contribution and you fill out your tax forms, April, whatever, there's a place in there that if you contributed to a traditional IRA, you can write that contribution off of your income, okay? So it's a tax deduction now. You're not paying taxes. Downside is everything you take out of that IRA when you start making withdrawals, every take out is going to be taxed at your then current tax rate. Okay, so there's a whole game to be played and looked at that for some of us, some kids are gone and all, but if you have kids at home or you have a mortgage, you have those things, more than likely your tax rate is the lowest right now. Once all those tax write-offs like mortgages, all that go away, tax rate. The second type of IRA is called a Roth IRA. This was developed, I think, but it hasn't been around as long. The benefit to a Roth IRA is the contribution put in are after tax. Okay, so you them maximum 500. Not sure, but anyway, when you send that money in, you don't get to write that off your taxes. You pay the taxes on it, okay? But when you get ready to take money out, everything you take out, including growth, is tax-free. So it becomes a balancing game. If somebody says this is always the best way to do this, don't listen to it. Because you got to take each individual circumstance you got to look at. Okay, you got to go through what their income is now versus what it will be, what their income deduction are now versus what it will be later. So it's not a simple pick this and go with it. There's a lot that goes behind it. There are other options. Okay, if you don't like either one of those. Real estate is probably the next biggest one. There's a lot of people that have made a lot of money buying land, houses, holding them for years, selling them, or if they have a house on them, a lot of people will buy them and then rent them. What they're doing in doing that is they're generating them a source of income. They have money. I know a lot of y'all have heard of Dave Ramsey. Some of you have probably listened to him. His story, to me, is a pretty amazing story. By the time he was 2 years old, he was older than I. So this was back when $1 million really was a lot. He was a billionaire by the time. But he did it through real estate. He didn't pay cash for anything. He would get income flowing off of one rental property, use that to turn around and go buy another one. So leveraged it way out. He had all these properties. Every one of them was generating money. So one of the banks says, "We're calling our loan. We've got 30 days to pay it off." His life crumbled financially. Bankrupt. He filed bankrupt. Threw it. Got relief, whole nine yards. Backside of that story is he had, even though the court said, you don't owe them the money, this is over with, the debt's gone, went back and he paid everyone. He turned around and built the same situation through real estate, billionaire, did it by paying cash property. Save until he got enough income off of one, that he could turn around and go. So then, first, there's no bank to call your mortgage, call your loan, and say you got to pay it in 30 days. But second, no matter what happens, the property is not going to, they lose renters and everything else, but not going to come against you. So if real estate is your choice, just I've never heard him say that. It's not to say that he hadn't. He's, at least when I listen to him, a fairly open person. I don't know why. And one of the things I can see is at 20 years old, back then, banks actually cared about the person. Look at the circumstance, right? It wasn't just a FICO score. And the only thing I can see, some bank looked and said, hey, wait a minute, we gave you a loan, didn't have any other debt. Now you've gone out and you accumulated all this other debt and you circumstances were uncomfortable. We're calling that. The only thing I can think of, but I've never heard him say. Another option is straight up, you're in a 401k, the bulk of what you're investing in is probably going to be mutual funds, okay? You can do that on your own. You can also do stocks, bonds, any of it, just brokerage. Understand that when you do that and make a profit, buy a stock, a mutual fund, you turn around later, you sell it, that profit, you have to pay tax. And then one of the safer ones that probably didn't earn you as much, but if you're up in or right at retirement, maybe safe. Know the limit insured for bank. There are limits. Lapsed, you don't have a lot, so you question. Yeah, so that's probably becoming more true. You know, if you have a way to provide for yourselves, food, an income, things like that, yeah. I guess we all know what the cost of eggs is. Okay, so congratulations. Once we've done all this, and some of this is ongoing, okay, understand that things like saving don't end life, but now that we've made it to this point, we're up to the last step, giving. Let's just look at 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7 says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God wants us to be givers. That's Old Testament, Mid Testament, New Testament. It's all the way through, cover to cover. Okay? And we can give at any time. Normally, in America, you're going to have a dollar. You're going to have something that you can give no matter what your circumstances are, where you are in life, or where you are financially. Okay? But if we follow God's principle from the beginning, don't put ourselves in situations that we choose to put ourselves in, there comes a time where we can. That doesn't necessarily mean that the hat's passed because we've got a guest preacher and we're going to pick up an offering from him, and most of us can afford to put a dollar in, right? Most of us make it. There comes a time, follow this plan, that you can't be of? Happily? Freely? And when that happens, you're not going to outgive God. It's amazing. Watch what happens. Decide, this person needs help. This cause needs help. Whatever it is, you give. You'll almost feel guilty at times. If you've ever done it, you know this. You almost feel guilty because you end up getting a bigger blessing than you gave them. So we've been in here for 4 weeks now, fourth Sunday. We started at the beginning and we walked through. But there is a goal to this. I don't want you to think, so here's a bunch of rules. Here's what we don't know why we're doing them. We just do. Oh, there's a goal to this. The goal is this point. Doesn't mean everybody's going to make it. Everybody's circumstances are different. Okay? The Bible says that the sun shines on the just and the unjust. You can do everything right and not get here. Doesn't mean it's your fault. Doesn't mean you did something wrong. Okay? Not everybody will get here. But if you follow the steps of the plan, there's a lot of blessing that comes along the way too. Yes, the biggest blessing still in walk you can freely. God whispers here and says, "Hey, person needs." Malachi 3:10. This kind of goes back to the tithing part. It says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to." And the last verse we've got is Acts 25:35. Says, "I have shewed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to receive." Yes, sir. Sure. Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. I got to experience this, and I don't know if my wife had the same experience or not, but I got to experience this as a youth, a teenager, in church. You remember, I don't remember her name. Was it Elam? So Christmas rolled around, and we had a good youth group. Okay, some of us were trouble, but we were a good group. And we got together, and we had a lady in the church that was elderly. She had some needs. She had some real needs, okay? Some of it was maybe not what we would consider big, but for her, it was big. She had needs. And we got together as a youth group and said, "Hey, why don't we buy some stuff, give her Christmas?" So I don't know how many of us went home and said, "Hey, Mom and Dad, I need some money." It was probably quite a few. We were all in high school, okay? Some of us came up with some money on our own, but we came up with it, and we did that. And the one thing I'll never forget was the look on her face, open, a big, red, thick, heavy winter coat. It was cold. She coming in with like a shawl wrapped around her on Sunday morning. We gave her, I don't know what you call them, but we gave her one of those coats that's, you know, an inch thick and hangs down below your knees that ladies wear, right? And it was bright red. And every time I walked in that sanctuary and I saw Miss Elam's red coat sitting in there, It was just a little warmth right there. You know, we weren't necessarily in a position to do something then. We'd not made it to the end of this. But I got to experience what that was like. And that one event had an impact on me that still does. I've held y'all late for 3 weeks in a row. We're through early. Any questions, comments, anything? If y'all have enjoyed the books and you appreciate the slides and all that, that's all Brother Andrew. I really appreciated it. He volunteered to do it, so let him know if you like that. And is there, this was laying up here when I came in, is there something? So are you offering to share or okay. I have not been through this. I would love to go through it. But it's Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. It's DVDs. I don't know how many is in here. It looks like quite a few. 13 of them. Look, 13 plus a bonus. So I've not seen this, so I can't comment specifically on it, but I've heard about it, and to a large extent, it follows Dave Ramsey's books. And those I absolutely recommend. I would read those. And same thing, I almost started listening to him again just to see, because things like that $1,000 emergency fund, I suspect he's bumped up a little bit, but maybe he hadn't. Has he? Okay. I figure he has. But you know, the point being, it's something, and a lot of that is individual to the person. So you kind of have to decide that yourself. For some people, $1,000 gets them out of a bind and down the road. For others, it may take more. But I do recommend the books. I would get those and read those. At least the first two that we recommended, the Total Money Makeover and Financial Peace. Once you get up toward the tail end of this financial plan and you get to the saving and giving part, oh, go read More Than Enough. Oh, you talk about a blessing? No comments, questions, anything? Going once? Twice?